You're listening to Please Save Me.
Please Save Me is the official recap podcast of Chicago Heroes, network TV's number one drama.
Chicago Heroes is definitely a real TV show, but you won't find it in any TV guide.
And if you don't watch it, that's your problem.
You gotta take a side.
You know what makes me really sick to my stomach?
What?
It's watching you stuff your face with those hot dogs.
If you see me coming, you better run because I'm gonna lay you the fuck down!
Nobody, I mean nobody, puts ketchup on a hot dog.
Smells like courage.
Hello there, Hero Heads, and welcome back to the Sound Waves. We are back here this week to recap another excellent episode of Chicago Heroes, television's number one show, and we are podcasting's number one and two recappers, and I won't tell you which one of us is which, but I will tell you who's in the running. First up to bat, taking a swing, and it's a home run, is me, Ben Flores. And in the dugout, now she's walking to the plate, it's my co-host,
Sarah Black, and I ate a grand slam for breakfast this morning.
Well, now how about, I'm not going to say I hop on to do this podcast, but I will say we hop on to do this podcast, which is my way of saying we're going to record it now. And if I had editing, I would cut that out. But I don't, so I won't. Anyway, what did you think of this week's episode of television's best show? Sorry if that's a leading question.
Well, it was the best episode of the best show.
Or should I call it a lead-off question? Oh. I'm making our listeners think that there's baseball in this episode, because there's been Chicago Heroes has done
some. Which is something we love to do. Yeah, that's something we really love to do.
But that's actually, just like this show kind of throws...
Curveballs
at you. We're
going to give it to you straight.
Yes.
But fast.
Which is that there is no baseball in this episode, and that's a promise.
Yep. So don't count any strikes against us. Ben, this episode was so good, and I think it would behoove us to quickly just acknowledge something with our listeners, which is that the show, and therefore we, have gone on a bit of a hiatus. It hasn't been too long. Time is a flat circle. That's something that they say in the show all the time. But did want to acknowledge that there has been some time off, and local listeners probably already know why, but recently there was a mayoral election in Chicago, and all the candidates running for mayor had been buying airtime, and some of them had deep pockets, because they just bought up the space that on which Chicago Heroes would typically air. And something interesting, or something kind of fun, something that gave me a laugh, and something that kind of took the piss out of me, so to speak, is that they all ran with the same tagline, which is mayor candidate's name, : the real Chicago hero.
Picture this. Mayoral candidate walking down the street in their pantsuit. Mm-hmm. And there's little bits of fabric sticking out of the bottom cuff of their pants, rubbing along the ground behind their heels.
Just rubbing.
What are they? You think? Pockets. That's how deep some of their pockets are.
Yeah.
Pockets so deep they go all the way down the pants.
And they rub
stick
the
out
pavement.
The bottom and rub along the pavement.
Yeah.
And Chicago's got so many potholes. So much pockmarked sidewalks, you're gonna fray those pockets and all the money gonna spill out.
Yeah.
And now beggars and vagrants are picking it up and using it to buy little nips of liquor.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that mayor wins so they can clean that up. So paint you a picture.
Yep. And that's why we were on the air for a couple of days, weeks. Could really be any amount of time. Nobody really knows for sure. None of us really kept track. But we missed you, and we know you missed us. And we're back here recapping what was a phenomenal episode, a real comeback, except for the show wasn't doing bad, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, it was. This episode really stole home. So
yes.
And we actually brought on a little bit of a pinch hitter to discuss this one with us.
Yes.
So we have a guest that we're very excited to introduce to you because he's, you
perfect.
Know, perfect for, you know, I was going to say perfect for the episode.
Yeah. That's,
right.
Yeah.
He's a, you know, just like a hitter who's found his pitch. It's a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
With this guy.
This guy. Yeah. One of the all-time greats, belongs in the Hall of Fame for sure.
Yeah.
Joining us in the trailer, we have Lewis Meyer. Welcome.
Wow. Thank you guys. That's so nice of you. I don't know a lot about baseball, but I'm
okay.
really excited to have a little bit of ball time with both of you. It's okay. Thank you for
okay, we'll have some ball time. Sounds good.
Enough balls here to go around for everybody, and so let's just all, along with our listeners, dive into the pit and start splashing around.
So, Lewis, what is it that you do?
Oh, well, I'm a dog agent. I'm an agent to the dog stars. I like to think, you know, all my clients are stars in my mind, and mm-hmm. all of them are definitely dogs in anyone's mind.
That's great. Can you give us like a little insider Hollywood behind the scenes sneak peek into your client list?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, this was a big episode for me. I hope I'm on the right one, because I didn't see the baseball scenes, but there were a lot of dogs that I supplied, a lot of clients that I gave for the show. I also you know, I got my start in the 90s. You know, I had this idea, this crazy idea that actually, you know, I want to say ruffled a lot of fur back then, to put more dogs in TV and movies and to really represent dogs as stars. And people didn't think that was a good idea,
so you had a rough go of it.
I had a really rough go of it. My father actually is Ron Meyer, one of the co-founders of CAA, and he gave me my shot there. And
is that the Canine Arts Agency?
I get it. that's my agency is the Canine Arts Agency. My father's agency, CAA, is the biggest agency in Hollywood, and they sued us pretty handily for trying to also be CAA.
And that's a sort of a double slap to the face to sue you handily, because of course, as we know, dogs, they've got paws.
They've got paws, and
also it was your dad.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah, that's why I said double slap, you know.
I thought the sue was the first slap,
yeah,
and then
triple
the
slap, really.
Yeah,
that's a triple.
That's a triple.
Yeah, it gives me pause to tell the tale of estrangement from my dad, the most powerful agent in Hollywood. But I had this idea, and I went forward with it, and I found a fellow named Kelsey Grammer who believed in it too, and my first client was a dog named Rocco, who went on to be Eddie on Frasier.
Wow, and those paychecks must have really put a woof over your head.
They put many woofs over, you know, my head and my family's heads, and thank God for it, because my dad, he really cut me off, and he really sued me bad. mm-hmm. Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Sued you real bad.
Yeah. But yeah,
well, you're wearing a fancy suit now, so
thank you.
Things must have really looked up for you. I wouldn't want to have to count the pinstripes on that thing.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
It's,
yeah, you know,
solid.
In this industry, you keep a lint roller in one pocket and a couple of loose dog treats in the other.
I do that anyway.
Smart.
Thank you. So,
I actually want to revisit something that you said
sure.
Just earlier. Well, obviously not something you said later, although time is a flat circle, as we said, so it's possible that it's something you said in the future too.
Yeah.
But earlier, where you said that you supplied a lot of dogs and you gave a lot of dogs for this episode, is that standard to give the dogs away, or sort of is the kind of thing where your clients, when you put them on a show, it's for keeps, or...
Well, certainly there's money involved. You know, in in the early go of it, you know, while we hit it big initially with Rocco and his starring role as Eddie, it was rough at times. I keep saying that. I'm not trying to do puns. There were times when I would have to do something called dog flipping, and that's not when a dog does a flip. I don't do any dog stunt training. That's a different.
Wishbone wasn't your client.
Oh God, I wish. No.
You'd have to break him in half to make that come true.
God, that would be really funny if that dog hadn't died after being dismembered in that car accident. Not many people know.
Yeah.
Some would say it might actually make it funnier, but.
That depends on your humor, I guess.
Subjective, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Ear of the beholder.
He was a friend.
Wishbone?
Yeah.
He was not your client, but he was your friend.
He was a good friend.
He was a
man's best friend.
Okay.
Many. Yeah. Yes, and a few women in his day, let me tell you.
okay.
Yeah, so, you know, when a dog agent isn't doing so well, sometimes you gotta do what I call dog flipping, which is where you kind of just drive the streets looking for strays and thinking like, hey, there's some potential there. You know, maybe I can take this kid in and, you know, for lack of a better pun, groom him, take him under my hind leg and mostly just get him his shots and clean him up and train him a bit so that he can act.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that really is one of those for lack of a better pun kind of scenarios.
Yeah.
But I can't think of a better one.
That's what I do with men. Just drive around, try to find something that needs a little fixing up, and then, for lack of a better word, groom him and then...
Take him under your hind leg.
Take him under my hind leg and, you know, do that until I get bored and move on.
Yeah,
I actually
wow.
take my... I'm like that with women. I take my approach to that from... the song Dumpweed by Blink-182, where the chorus, Mark Hoppus or Tom DeLonge, or maybe it's both of them singing together, I can't remember, they say, I want a girl that I can train.
Sure.
Which
okay. I don't listen to country, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that music comes from the best country in the world, the United States of America.
Oh. God bless.
Well, I'm actually thinking about what you just said.
Me too.
I know, I can do that while I'm talking. And I'm thinking, Mr. Meyer, about how you must have particularly strong insight into some of the villains in this episode, because the villains in this episode, their whole kind of scheme, their whole kind of scam, their whole con... sounds perilously close to what you've used when you've been down on hard times.
Wow. Thanks for comparing me to such villainous people. And also I just, real quick,
just cunning.
If you could bleep it earlier when you said Mr. Meyer, my father has sued me as well. Only he can be referred to as Mr. Meyer. So just, Lewis or Lewis Meyer, or he has allowed me, so far it's legally okay for you to use the term MX, the modern, or if you wanted to call me Ms. Meyer, but I wouldn't like that. I know, I really helped a lot in this episode. I'm really hoping that this is like a breakout chance for my agency. Cause, after a nice run in the 90s, the 2000s and the last several years have been really, really hard on our agency, the Canine Arts Agency.
So you can still have the name CAA despite
please
getting
don't call
sued
us CAA.
Real bad.
Yeah, you can't call us CAA, but we are the Canine Arts Agency.
Got it. So you have to say Canine Arts Agency every time on, and there's no
the full. It's one word, for legal purposes.
Oh,
Canine Arts
so we can
agency.
Just call it the C.
You could call it the C.
Okay.
In fact, I would prefer that you did.
Okay, the C.
Yes.
Great.
And so, yeah, you know, I was able to talk to some folks at NBC, and they needed a lot of dogs. They needed a lot of dogs for this episode for really the worst crime.
And why were you
crime.
Talking to people at NBC who needed dogs for this episode of Chicago Heroes?
Well,
you got to talk to whoever you can have connections with in the industry, right?
Yeah, they connected me to, you know, the right people. And I did my thing.
Well, it sounds like you worked magic, because there were oodles and oodles of poodles and retrievers and wiener dogs and huskies and mountain dogs and Maltese and Scotty dogs and Schnauzers and German Shepherds and Beagles and Bloodhounds and probably a couple other types of Pomeranians, Bichon Frise, Chihuahuas, and Griffon something, and a Cocker Spaniel and a Corgi and a Labrador and a yellow Labrador and a black Labrador and a chocolate Labrador and a golden doodle and a Bernedoodle and probably a couple other dogs that I'm not thinking of.
Mounds of hounds. So how about we go ahead and start talking about the episode in terms of recapping it for all of our listeners out there who like to so nice they want to see and listen about it twice. So in this episode, which was titled Three Dog Night.
Wonder what that's about.
A bit of an understatement, if I might say.
Yeah.
Based in terms of what Sarah was just talking about, a lot more than three.
Yeah.
Although there were three canine protagonists, sort of an ensemble. So.
Oh, I just thought of something.
Mm.
Canine. Good. K-9. K-9 is a dog. K-9, police dog.
That's really clever. Did you just make that up?
Well, you're about to see that no, I did not.
Because I could have been calling my agency K-9AA all this time, I'm realizing.
Ooh.
I could have saved
but nobody
millions
wants to get,
in legal fees.
Unless the police sue you real bad.
That'd be bad.
I don't know.
You don't want to be on the wrong side of the law.
No. Yeah, we've been there one too many times, brother. So, yeah, let's talk about the app.
So we open on one of our Chicago heroes, Dylan. Dylan Smith. He's a firefighter, which is, in my opinion, one of the best types of hero you can be.
Definitely one of the best types of fighter.
Oh, no doubt about it. Marky Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale got nothing.
Million dollar baby? More like negative million dollar baby.
When I was eight, Marky Mark performed at my birthday.
Well, that's just incredible.
Did your father represent him? Is that what that's about?
Yeah, still does.
That's
so
really cool.
We don't talk anymore.
Did he do all his big songs?
We actually, we were kind of more into Michael Jackson, so my dad made him sing Michael Jackson songs to us.
And what did that sound like?
It wasn't so good.
Huh.
But we were eight, so it was cool, and he let us touch his abs, which in hindsight was weird.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because that's not unlike what was happening in the opening scene of this episode, where Dylan Smith, of course, he's out at Meet the Firefighter Day, and he has he's kind of taking a page out of Mark Briggs, the Ripped Lawyer's book, ripping a page out of the Ripped Lawyer's book, and he's got the abs cut out on his firefighter's coat, and all the school children, and I actually got to say the teachers more than anything.
Oh boy,
are
those teachers
kind of, coming up hot to trot.
Yeah, hot for teacher, but opposite.
Opposite way. Feeling those rippled abs. And
which, when did he get those?
Oh, I don't know, because he was...
he was just so lean
soft.
Before.
Yeah, soft. Yeah, lean and soft, sort of, you know? Kind of,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, very twiggy through his limbs.
Yeah.
And then... very soft through his midsection.
Yeah.
But I think he hasn't been eating.
Because of death. Because
he's been grieving.
Brother. Yeah.
Yeah. He's been grieving the death of his brother at the end of season one, Colton Smith, who was a paramedic.
Yes.
And so I kind of look at everything about Dylan through that lens now. And I think he's looking for affection. He's looking for companionship. He's looking for attention. So when these horny teachers are all feeling his rippled abs and giving their fourth and fifth graders a kind of a crash course in adult sexuality
in terms
of seeing the way that the teacher is so hot for Dylan.
They were panting like a dog.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a thematic little motif there.
Yes.
Well, Dylan's getting distracted by that. And what's happening while Dylan is distracted?
Well, while Dylan's getting hounded by horny teachers, his emotional support dog is getting a little distracted by what he thinks is a pile of bones.
Yeah.
And kind of starts walking towards that pile of bones. And next thing you know, that dog's inside a big old net.
Yeah.
And turns out Rusty the dog got dog napped.
Yes.
Which is a real thing too. It happens more than you'd think in this country.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have thought it happened much, but then I kind of had to recalibrate my thoughts about that in terms of the intro to the episode when you were just a couple moments ago telling us that you go around dog napping dogs.
But like nobly, like for a noble purpose, which is making them better.
Excuse me. That's a very bold accusation. I'll take in strays and or, you know, make arrangements with an owner when necessary, but I represent talent.
What's an arrangement?
An arrangement? What does that mean?
Well, you know, not all dogs are stars, but when you find a special dog, be it, you know, walking on the street or at a dog audition, you do what you got to do to secure that client. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, a home environment is not properly suited for a dog actor. And so that's where, you know, we come in and we take in a lot of dogs and we, you know, we give them the finest amenities. But of course, you know, we would never dog nap a dog, but
you,
we
do
would.
Do you need a towel? You are sweating bullets.
It's just, it is a little warm in here.
I turned the heat off.
These microphones get so hot.
Yeah.
But that is, wow. So yeah, I mean, from time to time, we will compensate a dog owner properly in order to, you know, take their dog in and give them the best career that they can have.
So say I've got a dog.
Okay. Do you have a dog? Because we are looking
for
new clients.
No. We live in a trailer. It would be unethical to have a dog here. Inhumane.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? What's wrong with a dog living in a trailer? All the finest dog stars live in trailers.
Okay. So see, this is kind of where I'm going here. So say I've got a dog and this dog has star power. This dog is gorgeous.
Curls.
Sure.
Curls. Like the Marilyn Monroe of dogs.
Yeah.
You spot this dog and you come to me and you say...
She can sing.
Yes, she can. And she can sing. And you come to me and you say, this dog has got it.
Mm-hmm. And I say that often. Yeah. That is a sentence I say many times in my life.
Yeah, and I say, it? Okay. How much? You want her? How much? And then how much do you offer me?
Well, first of all, that's a red flag right there because, you know, a dog that's really going to perform is a dog that's properly loved. So any owner that wants to give up their dog that easily, I'm getting a little worried now.
Okay, but say it's...
So that's interesting. So the only dogs that you take, you know, the only time you make an arrangement with an owner to take their dog is if they don't want you to take their dog.
I would be much more intrigued if they are like, I could never. Mm-hmm. I could, my little dog, I don't think so.
Okay, so say I just said that.
Okay.
How much?
Now we're in business.
How much? How much business are we in?
Well, if it's truly the Marilyn Monroe of dogs, who can sing?
The Rolls Royce of dogs with a beautiful horn.
I'm imagining that I could offer you upwards of $12,000 for that dog.
I want you to finish this sentence the way that you would typically finish it if you were making one of these arrangements,
sure.
Lewis Meyer. I'm going to make you an offer. I'm going to make you an offer.
Oh, how I would finish
it? If you were in one of making one of these arrangements, how would you finish that sentence? You say to them, I'm going to make you an offer.
for your dog.
Well, and that checks out. So I would say, everything seems
to
actually...
Can I say what I would say?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Well, and that's...
Math.
So the math of this episode was that they needed, as we said, mounds of hounds. And why? Because so far, if I'm counting, which I can, and I have been, I'm at one. I'm holding one finger up, and I've been doing it. And I got confused a moment ago because we're all holding our one finger up, which is three. But that's actually how many we're going to have soon.
Something I do want to ask super quick before we keep going is, what kind of breed of dog is Rusty, Dylan's faithful companion? I have never seen a dog quite like that.
Rusty, which is the character, of course, is played by a dog named Chauncey. Chauncey was a dog that I discovered at a dog park in Palo Alto, California. I was out scouting talent, as I do. And I see this dog I lock eyes with this dog. And this is kind of a scenario that you're thinking about where I
set that dog at ease.
I really thought this dog has it. And to answer your question, Rusty is a mix between a lab and a pit bull. And a few other things probably. Rusty was nobly rescued by a family in Palo Alto. And I was able to get Rusty for just $1,000. And so far, he has made a lot of money, as you know, because he's been on the show.
That's a song.
Since day one, pretty much since.
I mean, he's been in, I would say, doing background in most of the episodes.
What was the episode where Dylan got PTSD and then started to need the emotional support dog?
That was actually just pretty recent.
Yeah, it was a webisode recently.
Yeah, but then he does all these flashbacks where he's like, I already know what I need.
Fighter-splaining to his therapist.
Yes. And he goes back through his memories, and so many of his memories, especially his memories with his brother, his cherished dead brother, that dog is there
instead of his brother, right? Yeah. So it was this flashback montage where he's reliving kind of getting born as twins, and baby that comes out of his mom after him is a dog.
Doggy.
Learning to swim, it's him doggy paddling, and it's doggy paddling.
Yeah.
And learning to read, and he's doing really well, and dog's not doing so great.
Yeah, and it's so good.
Fast forward to, you know, adults having sex, three ways, stuff like that.
Yeah, as you would. It's just so great that the writers are so dog friendly, specifically for me, because I make money every time dog appears.
Have kind of a deal with Chicago Heroes?
I would bet he does have a deal.
It's sort of an unspoken agreement. We were talking about, you have connections in this business, and let's just say that we've really been able to help each other out, and the more dogs that they write in, the more dogs that I manage to find to fill those roles.
You scratch my belly, I scratch yours.
Exactly.
Well,
can I use that?
Like as your tagline?
Yeah, I'm having new business cards made.
Sure, but first I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Oh.
I want $5,000 for it.
Oh. Well, we can, maybe we can negotiate, off mic.
Off mic, yeah.
Yeah, we'll take this, offline as they...
Yeah, we'll Periscope it.
So... What were we talking about?
I think the episode of Chicago Heroes.
Oh yeah, well definitely. I mean, you've really hit the mark there. What happened was Rusty, he gets dog napped.
Yep.
Right, by a couple of bad dudes.
Really bad.
Bad to the bone, really.
Yeah, I mean, these guys were dog nappers if I ever seen them. One fat, one thin, one with a mustache, one without.
Yep.
Talking in New York guy. Stealing dogs here.
Ugh,
horrible people.
Really bad, nasty people.
Bad boys.
Spitting and smoking cigars and chewing toothpicks and picking their feet in Poughkeepsie, basically.
Yep, just keep opening and shutting their switchblade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they threatened to shave those pretty curls right off of Rusty.
Yes, yes.
That's what they kept saying.
Those
to
are
him.
Some nice curls. It'd be a shame if you lost them.
And then the one that was the big guy, and then the little twiggy kind of guy says, kind of got worried. Was like, don't do that.
Hey, man, don't do that. We gotta enter.
We gotta
him
put
into
him
the
in
contest.
The show.
We gotta enter him into the contest.
Which is really very true to life. You know, I don't know how much you guys know about real life dog nappers, but they're always scheming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems
this
like
was
you
definitely.
Would know.
I mean, this seemed like it was very true to life, mm-hmm. Because it did enter kind of a documentary.
Well, it started with the MTV Real True Life. I'm a dog napper.
Yeah, they did those talking
credits.
Heads. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where the guys were showing off their dog mm-hmm. napping lair.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's
kind
so
of like
cool.
Cribs or whatever. They were kind of walking us through the lair and
yeah.
kind of the various dog torture rooms, dog sleep rooms, dog yeah. playrooms.
And it's yeah. just it's really amazing how they play tonally with this show. It's pretty incredible what they're allowed to get away with.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even cover that opening because they packed so much in that I hadn't even remember. You know, I was thinking like, that's not where the story started. It was a little preview.
You click your brain on this episode, you think about Dylan's abs.
Exactly. That's such a strong opening image.
So mm-hmm. strong.
But then,
literally.
As it turns out, they actually had opened with an even stronger one, which is sort of a really fucked up New York style dog dungeon, which is where we end up after this. So they bring Rusty back to the NY number one house of dogs.
All dogs go to hell.
Oh yeah, that's got that in neon up over
yeah.
the entrance to this place. Which
and everybody's taking Instagrams with.
Yes, yeah, it was pretty brazen. Because that's another scheme they had going, which is they were charging $20-$25 a head. There was a line of people kind of coming through and posing in with all the various dog equipment in the lair with their groups, yeah. And it didn't look like it was fun. But it did look like the pictures would be fun afterwards.
Right, yes. Yeah.
People were definitely like waiting around in the line.
Yeah.
Kind of these millennial influencer types.
Yeah.
Kind of looked to be like, it was interesting. We saw they looked very annoyed when they were waiting in line. They were talking about how hungry they were and how they weren't having a good time.
Uh-huh.
But then we saw them taking the pictures once they were into the dog dungeon and it was like they all turned on and they were pretending it was like the greatest time of all.
Yeah.
And that was just like one scene.
Worth the $25. Do it for the gram.
And for me, it was worth it being free because, you know, of course, we
watched this over antenna. Yeah, of course. So,
So anyway, but then we kind of cut back to the story.
Yeah.
Right?
yeah. And the good news is they don't cut Rusty's curls because Rusty's about to be in the big show.
Mm-hmm. Also, in our contract, they can't cut his hair. That's in his rider.
That makes sense.
So that might be.
So I knew it was tense for you guys, but I knew the whole time. I was like, they're not going to cut his hair because
it's like story kind of accommodating talent.
Exactly. You know, the threat was there, but you know, for those of us who are insiders and in the know on dog acting, we were like, they're not going to shave that dog because, you know, to shave a dog, that would have cost them a lot more.
Oh,
I'm certain.
I'm certain.
Yeah.
Curls are Chauncey's brand.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
That curly lab pit mix hair that we all know.
Yeah. Yep. So they don't cut it because they're about to be in the big Chicago dog show.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least that's the idea, right? That's why
they've the big idea.
That's why they've dog napped him, and that is this episode's big idea,
mm-hmm.
right? The what's the big idea of the week is what's it like to be in the big show?
Yeah,
and they get Rusty back to the lair, as we've said, 20 times now. And at this point, there's nothing to indicate to me or Sarah yet, Now, you know, Lewis, because you've supplied talent for this. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to indicate to me or Sarah that there's going to actually be more dogs back here.
So many more dogs.
Oh, boy. I mean, it was a veritable...
Oodles and noodles.
A beast feast.
Yeah, oodles and noodles of poodles.
I made a lot of money.
And hounds.
And that's what it's all about, right? I mean, that's sort of... And in this episode, that's kind of life... Or art mimicking life.
Yeah.
Because these dog nappers is all about that cream.
Yeah, this is actually, this was a record-setting television event. I assume, I didn't see any of the commercials, but I assume that that's how they advertised this episode, in that it's the most dogs ever to appear on a network TV show. Let's just say that I'm pretty hopeful that, you know, a stunt like this is something that will finally get me back in the good graces of my father.
Yeah.
And maybe repair that relationship after so long.
Yeah,
and
we hope
I mean,
too.
Dads do be like that, though.
Dads,
you know,
do
sort
be
of
like
you know, treat you bad your whole life and wait for you to do that one thing that'll finally win them over, and then all of a sudden they respect you. And that's usually what it's like.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
We do too.
Well, I would hold out for it because that's probably, he's probably just kind of waiting for you to check the box he'll look at you like a man.
My hopes are sky high.
Well, good, excellent.
Good.
Well, so was these dog nappers' hopes.
Yeah.
Was for to be up in the big winner's box, the sky high winner's box at the Chicago Dog Show, looking down on their prize dogs. And they've got a few that they're prepping to be in the running. Now, as you said, it's the most dogs ever to be in a network event. And that's probably because they've got a lot of rejects kicking around this lair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we focus on a few of their prize dog napped trophies that they're grooming, as you said.
Yes.
So, so what do we got? We got Rusty, the emotional support dog. We've talked about him enough, and then we've got two companions that Rusty's introduced to.
Yes. First one is kind of like your standard beautiful, perfect silken fur prima donna show dog, a little toy.
Fiona.
Fiona, and she is a Yorkshire Terrier.
Mm-hmm.
So
Big Bow.
Big Bow.
Yeah, and she was played by Alessandro, who is a purebred Yorkshire Terrier, mm-hmm, a really, really wonderful performer.
And a guy.
Yeah, which is it just kind of shows the range.
Yeah,
you know?
That's great range.
Yeah.
They taped his wiener up to his belly.
Yeah. And you know, that's you know, you guys are laughing, and it's 2019, and
it was just a little hokey.
Yeah, and this is not your fault. The way the show did it was distasteful.
Okay, well, I hope he doesn't hear this.
I'm sure he won't. And then we also had a canine unit dog, so your classic German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Big guy, a big guy named Bruno. Mm-hmm. And what's the dog actor's name there?
It's actually also Bruno.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's cute. Bruno seemed kind of like a character actor, like a Sam Elliott or something.
He's one of those dogs that you see and you're like, I've seen this guy.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Let me tell you, you have.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of one of these guys you would see on The Sopranos or something where they would say,
he did a turn on The Sopranos.
I play two types of guys. I play cops and I play wise guys, and that's it. And I know how to do it, and I do it right.
He's been a guard dog, an attack dog, in almost every action movie, cop show that you can think of.
Yeah.
He's had a guest run.
Does he ever play the other... I guess attack dog, playing the other side of things, sort of a cops and robbers.
Yeah, you know? He was in John Wick. He actually accidentally really bit Keanu a little bit. If you ever meet Keanu, he's got this little scar on his forearm. That's Bruno.
I'd love to meet Keanu and see that scar.
He's the real
forearm.
Bruno and Keanu.
I mean, he must be the real deal if they keep letting him work after he bites an A-lister on set.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people can get away with that.
Yeah, well,
some
you know,
dogs can get away with that.
I'm touching my nose.
Yeah, you are. So these three kind of make quick friends. They all kind of like huddle and chat and say, they can obviously talk. I don't know if we brought that up, but they can obviously talk. They huddle and chat super quick and say, okay, we got to get out of here. What are we going to do?
I thought the dubbing was great.
The dubbing was awesome.
Yeah, and really, again, what they do with this show, the tonal shifts, the fact that they took a whole episode to focus on, you know, what had been a side character in Rusty, and to give him this whole story, mm-hmm. and to let him finally have a true of inner voice and inner monologue, and mm-hmm. to kind of get inside the mind of a dog and let him really perform and do his thing.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Chauncey Ham. So they couldn't get the A-list talent for the dubbing in this, obviously. But I did really like the voice that Rusty had, and I had to know who it was. And it was Chauncey Ham, which is actually interesting because Chauncey is the name of the dog. So there's really some various overlap here, you know? Mm-hmm. And then Ham, of course, is a word for
ham.
Pork. Yeah. For, you know, which is another kind of animal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
In Hollywood, everybody's only 6 degrees of separation away.
Yep. And then Fiona
was played by Fiona Apple, which is interesting because they shared a name, and then Apple is also
the type of wood that you would smoke ham in.
Yes. And you feel sometimes like they're almost taking the easy way out when they cast some of these folks, you know, sort of like, okay, what's at the top of our mind? Let's just pull that one off the pile and mm-hmm. go with that one.
Yeah.
You know, let's not think about it. Let's just kind of go with it, you know, which would make sense because it's 6 days to air. You know, it's like, I mean, they film it all ahead of time, but then they reshoot it all. You know, they rewrite it, they reshoot it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because they know that real creativity comes from crunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did you think, Lewis Meyer, I mean, as the supplier of talent, what did you think of their choice for the dubbing for Bruno?
Lewis Meyer, the talent supplier.
Mm-hmm. And that's good. And you can use that one too. So
I can, that make one's
room,
for free?
Make more room on the card. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't negotiate.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. For Bruno, I just thought the authenticity of going with a real German actor mm-hmm. that who only spoke German was mm-hmm. like, wow, what an amazing, yeah, what an amazing touch.
Yeah, it was really great. And that was interesting because you got a dog, right? Mm-hmm. And you got him dubbed with this German, right? Very German guy.
Nein.
Yeah. Niet. And then, of course, I don't understand any of that stuff.
No.
You know, it's just, nein, yet, auf Wiedersehen. And then subtitles, you know. And so I'm actually reading it, which I like because now my brain is working even more.
Yeah, I love TV shows that make me think.
Yeah, and I mean, this episode was a real thinker.
Yes.
And the dogs were thinking, overtime.
Yeah.
And it was overtime because it was the middle of the night when they're doing the thinking, which mm-hmm. is...
But to be clear, my dogs do all work on union standards. None of them have to work more than 12-hour days, just
that's
like any other performer.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, and that's movie magic where they can make it look like it's nighttime even when it's light time.
Right.
And so so in this case, you know, the sleeping dogs, they don't lie. They actually get up and they talk to each other.
And they actually don't sleep.
They didn't. No, they talked about how are we going to get out of here, right? Yeah. Because these guys are going to try to make us go into the dog show. And Canine, Bruno, he says in German, he says, I don't do shows.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a show dog.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Rusty, too, kind of is like, well, me neither, buddy. I'm a mutt. I don't even, mm-hmm. I'm not even a purebred.
I'm a mutt, first of all, and I'm a working dog, second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's two ways I'm not a show guy.
And Bruno hated that.
Oh, yeah. Bruno goes, you never seen a real day's work in your life. You know, because the subtitles, they get kind of a New York accent to them. And even though he's German guy, you know, he says, look at your paws, smooth as a baby's buttocks, not a callus on a single digit.
Nine.
Yeah.
So
they sort of set up a little weak guy, tough guy rivalry,
mm-hmm.
sensitive guy, macho guy kind of rivalry, which is interesting because just in the dog kingdom, it's so much like humans,
the animal kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the way a father can be hard on his son.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Yeah, and that's
something. Are you sure you don't want to?
I think we've all seen in movies. You know, we've all seen movies where there's a dad who's hard on his kid and doesn't love him, and kid tries and tries and tries to get his dad to love him, and
yeah,
fails, and
yeah, in movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, in movies.
So I liked how they kind of did that here with these two guys busting each other's balls, which of course they don't have.
Which one's the daddy?
And that's a question, right? TV shows can really only ask questions. They can't answer them.
Right.
Or they can, but they don't.
So Bruno says, listen, I got this, but German. And he goes and does his little plan, which is to kind of to go find the dog napper's drugs.
He's seen, these guys are druggies.
Oh, they are big time druggies. And he's seen them doing all the drugs. So he kind of goes up there and he puts them all in his mouth and he kind of steals them. And
booze. Weed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did that whole like long, they went into that kind of LSD trippy montage of Bruno
collecting sort of all the drugs from around the house.
Right. Yeah, and then the, taking them. It kind of got animated for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, stylistic shift. It was like, who's that guy that does the videos? You know, it was like that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the crazy stuff in him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, it really had that kind of a feel to
it. Yes. Yeah. And God, I love those. Those are crazy. I hadn't thought about those in ages.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember those going
around. I watched them so much in college.
God, the videos can be so trippy. And so, because I mean, we're talking booze, weed, LSD,
maybe,
you know, pills,
yeah,
uppers,
yeah,
downers, sideways, you know, sliders, curvies,
yeah,
fastballs, yeah, knucklers, yep, poppers, white horse, angel dust, talking about
crocodile,
cocaina, crocodile, kratom, K2.
Little
spice,
little acetaminophen.
Oh yeah, naproxen,
Aleve,
Klonopin,
speedballs, black tar, quaaludes, Bennies,
and the Jets.
Jetties.
Oh yeah, Sharkos.
And Narcos.
Yes, he gets a whole season of Narcos Mexico on DVD, and he grabs that because that's of course what the druggies are watching, the dog nappers.
Yeah,
I mean, crazy.
Well, TV is my drug of choice,
and I mean, and that's a Netflix show, so you know getting that on DVD was hard to get.
Yes. So he kind of gets away with all this stuff and steals it,
flushes it.
Flushes
this dog knows
it.
How to use the toilet,
and that's more than I can say for myself. And he gets rid of the drugs, and then he's like, great. So now these druggies are going to have to go get more, and while they're gone, we can sneak out, or we can sneak out as they're leaving.
Yeah, explains the plan afterwards. Because, you know, it's TV tension.
Yeah,
right?
Well,
we're watching, we're like, what's he doing?
He's kind of showing off to Rusty and Fiona.
Balancing these drugs on his nose.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's a big-time crush on Fiona, and then also he's trying to show off to Rusty, who he's just kind of like, you know, kind of swinging his dick or whatever. And
because when he balances this big, you know, venti size bottle of Benny's on his nose, and Fiona goes, are you sure you're not a show dog?
Yeah. And then Bruno gets pissed.
Anyway,
gets rid of the drugs, and druggies and dog nappers decide, you know what, it's time to get clean.
Yeah, it's this plan backfires.
Big time.
So you weren't privy to, you know, you have your contractual things you know about, but in terms of the story, did you think that the episode was actually going to end there, that they were going to...
Well, I mean, I obviously was sent the script ahead of time for approval, you know, before any of my actors are going to be in it. You know, we run through it, we practice. And that's the good thing about keeping all these dogs under, you know, one roof, as you guys like to say, is that, you know, they can all rehearse together and work together. And they have rapport. You know, there was actually, you know, Alessandro and Bruno at one point did a whole buddy cop dog cop movie together that unfortunately got canned. But man, did they have fun filming that one.
Oh,
So they just made the whole thing and then kind of said, nah.
Yeah.
No, we're put good.
It out. Yeah, it was... It was going
like
to be
a bone.
Yeah, it was going to be released the same weekend as Avatar, and that was, you know, one of my father's, and he, so it's a touchy subject, but it didn't work out in the end, but you know, everybody learned a lot from the process.
Great. Well, the rapport really showed here. They were naturals, and the rapport between the two druggies really improved mm-hmm. when they cleaned up. You know, they'd really kind of been at each other's throats mm-hmm. prior to this, kind of having lovers' quarrels. And when they kind of sober up, I mean, really, they really do sober up.
And we have to watch kind of a lot. I mean,
oh yeah, it's 28 days. I mean,
yeah,
it's with them the really going through a whole detox. Yeah. Kind of green juices, going to meetings.
Yeah. Holding each other in their arms while they cry.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Tons of puking and shivering and like, I don't know. Made me never want to try
anything. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, because they were so sick and everything. So, it was like, get it together is how I felt. You know, I was trying to fast forward, but we watch on antenna.
Right.
So
we couldn't.
You know, so I had to really go through it. And I was like, God, I think this is harder on me than it is on them.
It gotta be.
Because they were just acting.
I'm actually having to live this. You know, I'm looking around for a drug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And we found a drug, which is
more
Chicago.
Show.
Yeah.
It's very addictive.
Yes. You know, I'm sitting over here like the guy from the sketch, right? You know, going more show, you know, more show. You know, so
I love that sketch.
Right.
Yeah.
So they come up with a new plan, right? These dogs' brains is working overtime again.
Yeah.
And we're about a month later and they try to put a little bit of pep back into the lover's spat.
Yes. So Fiona kind of has a little light bulb over her head and goes, okay, I think I've got an idea. And she does.
She does her thing.
Yeah.
What did you think watching her do her thing, Lewis Meyer?
I
the dog supplier
was just blown away. I mean, Alessandro, so versatile for a male mm-hmm. dog to embody that kind of femininity, and to, I mean, really, I don't think anybody watched that kind of sexy sequence without kind of thinking like, am I attracted to this dog?
Oh, I didn't have any questions. I was soaked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and so were the... Well, and I'm kind of thinking, what's the purpose of this? Right?
Yeah.
Is this just a little bit of eye candy for me?
Right.
Or, you know, I'm actually kind of thinking, within the world of the show, mm-hmm. what's the purpose of it?
But then Chauncey came in with those baby blues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Watched it all happen.
Yeah. And you're kind of seeing it through his eyes, and you're seeing like, Fiona, the prima donna, she's trying to make, you see her really, she's kind of really... sexing up the, she's really kind of sexing up the fat mustachioed dog napper.
Yeah, sitting mm-hmm. on his lap,
oh,
rubbing against his leg.
Singing Mr. President to it.
Yeah, happy
you know?
Birthday.
Mr. Dog Napper.
Yeah.
Is what she's singing. Yeah. Of course, to the humans, comes out like barks
yep.
and without a tune. But
we
to
know.
Us from the dubbing.
And it's just so nice to hear Fiona Apple sing again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm happy for her. And I know that she could really relate during that drug rehab scene.
That husky, you know, like, and that voice, you know, that's a voice that's gone through it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and she worked very closely with Alessandra. They really were great collaborators.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I love hearing stuff like that, kind of behind the scenes camaraderie.
Inside baseball.
Yeah, they're actually in Turks and Caicos together now.
Oh.
Yeah. They're good friends.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Which one's Turks and which one's Caicos? Anyway, Fiona kind of starts being sexy with the big mustachio guy, rubbing up on him, sitting on his lap, singing, etc. Makes thin, wiry guy a little jealous.
Yeah.
And we can kind of tell that the tensions are rising between them again. They're starting to get a little snippy with each other because Fiona's clearly showing one of them affection, but not the other.
and it seems like maybe it's going to boil over, and that's what Fiona wants, right?
She's like, it's going to go crazy, and things are going to blow up, and they're going to fight, and all the dogs are going to go wild, and then we can kind of sneak out when there's just so much happening.
When they're distracted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because most of the time up to this point, even when they've been in the deepest, deepest throes of withdrawal, they got their eyes like hawks on these dogs.
Yeah. Even in their meetings. And
not a spare moment.
No.
They sleep in shifts.
Yep.
And so this seems like it might be their moment. But Rusty, he got to screw everything up, like you said, with those baby blues.
Whoopsie daisy.
He comes in, and because he's an emotional support dog, I mean, we're talking trained.
Yeah.
Right? This is a guy who, regardless of whether Bruno says it's work or not, Rusty knows how to do his job. He comes over here and he calms the fuck out of the thin, wiry guy. Right? Even thin, wiry guy, so calm.
Yeah, even though he was just steaming mad.
He was steaming coming out of his ears.
Yeah, and now he's good.
And so. And that's a little something around the office that we call the Chauncey effect. he's always just had that natural ability to kind of swoop in and just make everything, you know, real hunky-dory. When Kanye and Chance, the rapper, were beefing last year, it was actually Chauncey who stepped in and said, "Hey, guys, let's just remember that we're all friends." He didn't actually say that because he's a dog, but...
With his
the
eyes.
The intention was there.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love inside baseball.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, we've now, because these are our three main characters, we've exhausted all options of escape, right? Yeah, there's 20 or 30 other dogs in this lair, but they're not our characters. So, we're not going to hear from them about plans, you know? When Rusty and Fiona and Bruno have tried their best and given it the old doggo try and failed.
They gave it a heckin' good try.
Yes, and failed. Well, now it seems like their only chance is to compete in the dog show.
And they got to get first, second, and third place so their owners see them on there and know they've been napped.
Yeah.
And that's going to be extra tough because, as we know, Rusty is a mutt. And
there's no mutt
there's
category.
There's no mutt category in a dog show. But
and Bruno
man,
is kind of dead set against it.
Yeah, totally. He's yelling and screaming in German, but it's just amazing how the writers found a way around that. I when I read that in the script, I was like, wow, what an honor to work with these people.
Yeah, I bet it would be an honor to work with them.
Du hast, du hast mich. I mean, that was... what I was hearing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
and,
he kind of turns it around.
Yeah.
Right? You know, that Du Hast is playing, and at first it sounds just sort of like the speech that Bruno's giving, but then that music turns into
montage.
Training montage music.
Right, because these dogs are going to do what they Du Hast to do to win this competition.
Right. I mean, these guys, they are running up the steps of the Philadelphia Art Museum. Right,
yeah. What, under the watchful eye of the dog members.
Oh yes, I mean it's a replica that's built inside the dog lair. I mean this place is huge. We can't communicate that this thing. It's an old castle.
Yeah,
I mean it's literally it's an old
right
Scottish castle on the banks of Lake Chicago.
Yeah, right. We did a lot of great on location work for this episode.
That's so cool. Do they take you to the location?
No. But you know, I got to see pictures ahead of time.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'd love to see pictures of anything really. So they go, they train, they do all the stuff.
A lot of steps. Yep.
They toss each other treats, catch them in their mouths, balance bones on their nose. Bruno teaches them to balance things on their noses. All the things you classically do at a dog show.
They Rusty has to work on not getting distracted by crying people.
Mm-hmm.
So they do a thing where it's kind of like you would teach a horse not to get spooked. You know, they're teaching Rusty not to get empathetic.
Right. They're hardening him a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And as he hardens, Bruno softened.
Yeah. And they all kind of meet in the middle.
Right. And so show day comes around.
Sooner than we thought.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was only a few hours into the episode, and it's already show day, and I'm thinking, Is there going to be any, they must have a little more story than this, you know, but not too much. So, so they get there and we kind of, we kind of cut through the crap, right? I mean, we don't see all the shitty dogs failing.
No,
or the lower levels, you know, so we're seeing the quarterfinals, the semis, all that. But
finals
do
come around.
See one thing, which is in the quarterfinals, Fiona ain't doing so hot.
No, and she talks this big game this whole time and is like, I'm the show dog, I'll show you guys. And turns out she's cracking under pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she's, you know, talk about queen dogs and wanna dogs. She's a real wanna dog, you know, thinks that she can do it, but when she actually gets to the ship, can't deliver.
Yeah, and I can tell you guys from experience, those shows, they are a lot of pressure. You know, I've been to a lot to...
Do you buy dogs from dog shows?
Let's just say I try to find the dogs who steal the show and see if I can't put them in a few shows of my own.
Yeah, you steal them to do shows.
I would never admit to that.
Okay.
And what I'm interested in is, will a dog that's, you know, say you got a show dog, mm-hmm. prize-winning show dog.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, is that dog going to sell...
Marilyn Monroe of dogs.
Is that... Marilyn Monroe. Is that dog going to sell more for competition, for competing in shows, or for meat?
We only sell dogs for meat under the most dire of circumstances.
Yeah.
We really make sure that they have the most fulfilling of careers before ever sending them off to be processed.
So it pays more, but it's hard to bring yourself to do it.
It's kind of like a final paycheck for us.
Yeah, because these dog nappers, that's what they're talking about doing. I mean, we kind of hear them saying, you know, they're going to... you know, we got to get these dogs to win.
Straight out of the playbook.
Yeah, you know, because the winner dog, you know, that's meat that you really pay a lot for.
And the wiener dog.
They say contrary to popular belief, nobody wants to pay very much for the meat from the wiener dog.
Yeah, you know? It's a shame.
Sultans and high people in certain countries that they get off on that. It's kind of...
Sultans are...
I don't think I could ever get high enough to want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, newsflash, Bruno's going to try. Because there's a little more drugs coming up in this episode.
Just when you thought this couldn't have enough drugs or enough dogs, they keep giving you more.
Right, and that's what I'm actually wondering is, you know, you're getting paid off supplying dogs to this show. How come we didn't get the drug supplier guy on this episode? Because... he must have also been making mucho dinero.
Don't be so certain you didn't.
Well, and that's interesting. So nice that you got paid twice.
Oh, can I use that too? Lewis Meyer. Yeah. So nice he gets paid twice.
Make room on the back of the business card because we're filling it up. So it's something where they kind of see, you know, Rusty and Bruno see that Fiona is not up to snuff, not up to rough, so to speak. And they're worried because it's like, okay, well, we've got to, we're running a greater risk if we win because we hear the owners talking, you know, the dog nappers talking about they're going to sell us off for meat if we win this, which is we really got to escape. But also the only thing they show on TV is the first, second, third place. So we have to win. But Fiona can't do it. So what are we going to do, right? Bruno is kind of panicking and Rusty calms him down.
Right? And says, we've got this.
Right. He says, do what you do, right? That's what he says. And so Bruno goes off to do what he do.
And he finds drugs and he eats them and makes himself so sick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as sick as...
a dog, really.
Yeah. And as sick as fat guy Twiggy were from getting off drugs. Mm-hmm. I mean, getting on drugs has got to be worse because Bruno is looking really bad, right? He starts doggy barfing. He starts doggy shitting.
Right on the judge's shoes.
Oh, yes. He is doggy shaking on the turf. And I'm thinking, why?
Yeah, okay. They're throwing away the entire competition. And
bad
for what?
Plan?
But then Chauncey, your best actor, comes in as Rusty and is emotional and communicates with his baby blues to the judges that something is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because they haven't looked down. Yeah. I mean, they're getting all barfied on, but they have not looked down, right? So Rusty does, with his eyes and with big whimpering, communicate. And here's a hack. Go ahead and take your headphones off and play that one out loud, and your dog's going to look up.
Yeah.
Its ear's going to perk up after hearing
time.
That.
And then take a picture of it and hashtag it Canine Arts Agency, and we'll take a look, and maybe your dog has what it takes.
Maybe it's got it.
Exactly. Right.
Got it. Hashtag
got it. So... Why is Rusty whimpering, right? There's actually a rule at dog shows, which is...
only one.
There's only one rule, but it's hard and
it's
fast.
Don't talk about dog shows.
Yes. Yeah, and then that is the first rule, but then there's guidelines, right? So there's just one rule, but there's a lot of guidelines. And the eighth guideline is...
if a dog is sick...
Get the doctor, right? And so they go get Pierce Brosnan, the doctor, what they do is they stop the whole show and they ask, is there a doctor?
it's a plane.
Cause it's a plane. Yeah. I mean, it's a big plane. They're on a big, big plane floating around the sun.
Well, and there was that scene where the dog nappers brutally murdered the dog show vet.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
how could we forget?
Oh, and so they couldn't find the vet. And
how could we forget that little C story?
That was so much. I can't believe they can show that much blood.
Buckets of blood.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have said that maybe that vet actually, I'm wondering if that vet has been, that vet bled. I mean, that vet bled buckets. Mm-hmm. Enough blood that, I don't know if you guys were thinking, I was thinking, nobody has that much blood inside them.
Oh, I was thinking, did they really kill this man?
That's what it seemed like, you know.
Well, if you die on TV, you die in real life.
Right. And I'm thinking, is this proof of what I've heard about, which is these vets, these sicko fucking vets.
Yeah.
And what they do is they actually steal blood from the animals and they fill themselves up with it to make themselves stronger.
Mm-hmm. That's absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah, happens all
the
time.
Okay, you are sweating big time, dude.
Maybe I will take that towel.
Yeah, here.
Never leave your dog overnight at the vet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's the number one rule of the vet.
Oh, yeah.
The only rule.
So, dog's throwing up. They call the doctor, and who comes to the rescue but the doctor played by Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
And he's ready to start...
CPR
operating.
Starts doing CPR and yep. Gets out his holds his hand out to the judge and he goes scalpel.
Yep.
Judge has one.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And clamp. The other judge
famously
says,
the things you need for CPR.
Has a clamp. He goes, well, you it's yeah for CPR and because he's doing
he has
it's emergency CPR.
Right. And he has different
methods.
So
I mean,
methods,
when you're doing if you're doing elective CPR. You know, where you're on the schedule. Yeah, maybe you don't need all this stuff. You do an emergency CPR. You're going to work with what you got, right? You know, forcep. Suture. He goes,
And I'll have a Capri Sun.
Yeah. And then what does he do with that Capri Sun? He holds it up above the dog's heart level, sticks a line in it, and pumps it into the doggy.
Don't try this at home, folks.
It's a heckin' bad idea to try it.
But boy, does Bruno bow wow back to life.
Yes. And then we think, okay, well, what did that do? That did nothing. They're still napped. But then Rusty kind of starts pulling on the fabric of Pierce Brosnan and the doctor's leg and looks up at him. And Pierce Brosnan, the doctor, looks down and says, I know you from somewhere.
Yeah, and Rusty nods, you know, and Pierce Brosnan goes, "What do you want, boy?" And Rusty starts doing
charades. He kind of pantomimes.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he's just right. Charades.
He is absolutely pantomiming. So it's kind of, he kind of pants the number of syllables you know, number of words, right? Number of syllables, and we won't tell you all of it because you saw it.
Yeah, but and, ultimately,
suffice to say, ultimately, you
we
know,
were dog napped.
We were dog napped. Get us out of here, Fiona, too. Basically,
yeah, yeah, exactly. And as Pierce Brosnan and the Doctor kind of realizes this, he's like, "Okay, we were dog napped. Get us out of here, Fiona, too." And as he says it, the dog nappers hear, and they start running through the door.
They have courtside seats.
Right, and they start, they just bolt for the door. But guess what?
They're slow.
And they slip on the blood of the veterinarian. And just
yeah.
Whoop,
yeah.
Whoop. Oh, yeah, because, yeah, I mean, we might not have said this. This wasn't one of these kind of fly-by-night scenarios where they stuck a hood over the vet's head and took her into a van and killed her in an ice truck or whatever.
No.
It was they killed her right there at the entrance to the
We didn't mention it before, but it was a woman that they brutally murdered on network television. I mean, that's like, it's one
of these. Yeah, I mean, it's one of these kind of TV things, you know? It's like all doctors are guys, all vets are women.
Exactly.
You know?
One is smart and one is nurturing.
And it was Drew Barrymore. So, I mean, you thought that she was going to be alive for the whole episode.
Yeah, no
that's,
way.
Right? I mean, that's a big star. That's an A-lister. They're not going to...
That's why they call Drew Barrymore Miss Direction.
Yeah, right. And anyway, the guys have a missed connection with the doorway and slip and fall. And Fiona, not a great show dog, but
taste for blood.
Taste for blood. Well, it's already over there lapping up the veterinarian.
Yeah, I mean, that's why she's losing so hard in the quarterfinals, is because she's going through the agility course, making it through the post, doing the zigzag, right?
Yeah.
She turns the wrong way, gets a whiff of that blood, and boy, she's over there like a shark to chum.
Yeah, so she's over there lapping up this blood, and the guy's slipping it. Well, now they're covered in blood, and she
guess who's
is
getting
hungry.
Lapped next.
Yeah,
so she starts licking them,
and turns from licking into
hard licking, right?
And then biting, and then she's just tearing them limb from limb.
And that's a saying, right? Barking dogs never bite, you know, or barking dogs don't bite. And I realized at that point, Fiona didn't bark once during this episode.
Not a single time.
Right.
Yeah, this is an
episode.
Because
she's been speaking English.
This is an episode you can really go back and rewatch, and like, it just has so many layers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I only had to watch it once to catch all this stuff. But, I mean, if you're like not an expert recapper.
If you're a noob.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you might want to watch it twice.
Yeah.
Or three times.
Yeah, if you're a pupper.
And if you have a DVR. Ooh, I have a DVR. Ooh, I have TiVo. I pay for TiVo. I get a salary. Big money.
Yeah.
You know?
Ugh.
Got a video corder. Mm-hmm. I cord it. Okay.
Okay. Cool.
So that was the show. And interesting thing at the end was Pierce Brosnan, the Doctor, says we kind of see him walking the, I mean, we really do see it. We see him walking the dogs through the parking lot of the stadium back to his Ferrari. Mm-hmm. And he kind of says to them something like, "You'll be safe with me, my pretties." You know, sort of like a
spooky.
Little creepy.
Spooky.
You know, because here I am thinking he's going to take them back to their owners.
Guys, don't look at me like that. I really just because I get the scripts, or at least the pages with dogs in them, ahead of time.
You are white as a sheet.
I can't give anything away. I am contractually obligated. My friends at NBC would kill me.
Well, and you got to keep those connections. I mean, because, you know, NBC is just a hop, skip, and a jump away from Chicago Heroes. And so...
maybe even one less. Maybe just a hop and a skip.
Right. But that was the episode, and like so many, they kind of you know, and I'm not responsible for this. I'm just the messenger.
I won't shoot yet.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of tie it up neat like a bow, like on Fiona's head, and then they untie it, you know, with some weird little scene or whatever at the end.
They love doing that.
Yeah.
Good ep, though.
Life is messy. You know, maybe that's the, you know, hey, what's the bigger idea?
Yeah,
of
life
this
isn't
week's
a perfectly
episode.
Wrapped bow and right. things aren't just handed to you.
Right.
Great.
Well, so anyway, now it's time for us to go ahead and go take our own little break. Just like the show took a break for a week, we're going to take a break for 1 minute.
Hey, Hero Heads. If you think this is a doggone good podcast, why don't you just leave us a freaking review already? Head to Apple Podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. If you review us, we'll read it live on the air. That's right, live, no matter what time of day. All right, back to the ep.
Okay, and we're back. Hope that you were able to get a little potty time in.
Got your little pee pad out. And
that's what I was thinking. I was going for that, and I couldn't think of what it was called. Pee
Somebody
pad.
Took you out for a walk. Somebody put you on a leash and made you walk on all fours out into the lawn and kind of do your business out there.
Wow, you know my ex-wife.
My ex-wife. Mm-hmm. Bruno did that.
Enough about our ex-wives. We're done talking about dogs. We're going to move on to my favorite part of the show, the segment.
Love the segment.
So what we're going to do here is a little something that, like I always say, you know, and it's true, that's why I say it. We don't plan these ahead of time.
No.
Or I mean, what I mean is we do. We do plan them ahead of time. You know, we plan them ahead of time in terms of what the segment will be. And then a lot of times it's coincidence that it matches up so nicely with what the episode was.
Yeah.
So we had this one that we'd been, we had in the dugout and in the bullpen, or should I call it the wolf pen, the dog pound. This segment is called Three Wolf Moon. Three Wolf Moon is a famous t-shirt featuring three wolves howling at the moon. So the question this week is, what will next season's big t-shirt be? So we're going to see if we can do a little bit of prediction here.
I guess before we predict, I must ask, what season are we talking about?
Ooh, well, that's a good question. So right now it's almost spring, so what I would say late spring.
Okay.
What's the late spring t-shirt of 2019?
So it's definitely
be
a t-shirt, no long sleeves, short sleeves.
Yeah, let's stick to what the big t-shirt is going to be.
Yeah, so it's a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Doesn't have long sleeves.
I don't think so. Is the long sleeve t-shirt a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it could have long sleeves.
But it's late spring.
Shape of a T, right?
Shape of a T? Yeah. I guess
doing this right?
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay.
Worn over the torso?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you want to wear it that way,
spring.
For sure. I mean, and that gives me an idea, which is, you know, maybe the whole thing will be not wearing it over the torso. Right? I mean,
ooh, like wearing it like a, as
like
pants.
A diapers. You know, like, how would that even work? Okay, so you got a t-shirt. How do you wear a t-shirt as diapers? I guess the legs go out through the arms.
Yeah.
And your dingus kinda goes out through the head hole. Right?
That's where my dingus goes.
Right? So.
Yeah, my dingus kind of just stays.
Figured that out. Yeah, you're going to show through the head hole.
It's
you know?
Show big
I mean,
time, yeah.
Right.
Well,
okay, so we
also
got one, right?
Yeah, that's one way.
Right, so that might be, and put whatever you want on there in terms of graphics. You know, I was kind of actually thinking more about graphics, but you guys, you know, pulled my dingus and got me to talk about how are you going to wear the t-shirt different way? So we've talked about that.
Okay, I was thinking of kind of a funny saying. I was just thinking of funny things that you could put on t-shirts that might be big.
Mm-hmm.
And the t-shirt can be big too.
Yeah.
But the saying's the thing. Yeah. One of them is, it just says, it's got like a pair of like thick-rimmed glasses like the guy from Weezer wears. And it just says, talk nerdy to me. That's funny.
I love it. So it just has the glasses, though. Not a guy's face or anything.
Just the glasses. Just like glasses a real fucking nerd would wear.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of
like a Coke bottle.
Yeah, it's like kind of like, oh, I like geeks or whatever.
Yeah, like I was thinking, you know, when you said that, maybe it's just like, it's like a really big, like an oversized t-shirt. Like you would get a t-shirt like three sizes too big.
Uh-huh.
And in the middle, it just says... It says the word big, but it's really tiny.
Oh, that's good. That's next season for sure.
That's interesting because that's kind of like art. You know, that's kind of like a theme or a statement or something like that.
Yeah, and I think that's
an idea.
Thank you for saying that because my whole career has been a statement and some people don't recognize that.
Another one I was thinking.
This is not a cigar, right? Put that on a shirt.
That's fun.
Whoa. Right, or not a pipe or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hey,
this is not a cigar.
Make it
a
cigar, right?
Kind of
update it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right?
What are we updating?
Put this is not a pipe, you know?
Yeah.
Right? It's art.
I loved those videos in college. another one I'm thinking that would be fun is if it's a shirt and it says on it, don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Hate me because your boyfriend thinks I am.
I like that.
Thank you.
I like that.
And if we're talking about dogs, I'm also thinking about a shirt that has maybe a dog on it who's wearing maybe like fatigues or something and like Oakley sunglasses. And he's saying something about how he like kicked Osama bin Laden's ass.
So, you know, big dogs used to be a thing, right?
Huh?
Still is. Big dogs.
Never heard of it.
Used to be a thing. Shirt company.
The one that got away.
Never heard of it.
Had a chance to invest and whoops.
Yeah.
So what if you take that and you flip it?
Little dogs.
Little dogs, small dogs, tiny dogs, cats, right?
Maybe and everybody knows a cat is just a tiny dog.
Cat thing, you know?
What?
Don't look at me like that.
How? Ew.
Give a cat a bone, right?
Yeah.
And it's a cat with a boner. Put that on a shirt.
Or a cat that's like wearing army fatigues and like Oakley sunglasses or something. It's like, I kicked Osama bin Laden's ass.
I think the dog t-shirts are better than the cat ones.
Cat's just a little dog, man.
Okay, so you get a tuxedo t-shirt is a thing, right?
Uh-huh.
So what if instead of that, it's a t-shirt, but it makes it look like you're a dog, right?
So it's just like a belly.
Just a belly.
Or what if it was
but fur on the back.
Like a full costume that made you look like a dog.
Now and we're then, cooking.
Yeah, and then okay. You could, you know, hire like a sex worker to come over to your house.
Put you on a leash
one.
And walk you around or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
I'm raising my eyebrows real big right now because that sounds nice.
So now I think we're really cooking in terms of what could be popular in the late spring.
Especially on a t-shirt.
Right. Because you think about late spring and what I'm thinking is April showers bring May flowers. And when there's flowers out, I want to get outside.
And I want to be walked around.
Mm-hmm. Be wearing a big fur costume.
A t-shirt as a diaper.
Real castrated balls on it and nasty, mangy, dirty fur and big, pokey, stick-uppy ear and one floppy and...
Ben, now you're sweating a whole bunch.
Tails...
Here, use my towel.
Sticking up in the air, my butthole showing to everybody.
Okay.
Right?
Okay,
and
man.
And that is a t-shirt.
Do you have representation?
Well, we need
to go outside.
To end the segment. And that's been the segment. All right. Well, that was Three Wolf Moon. And now we're going to move on to our final segment of the show, which is the Ray Romano Memorial Promo section. So, first thing that we're going to do here is say thank you, Lewis Meyer, for coming on the show today.
You're amazing.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
The C, the Canine Artist Association?
Yes, Canine Arts Association, soon to be known as Canine AA.
Yeah, great. We'll talk about that off mic. Mm-hmm.
We've never had a real agent on the show before.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Wow, thank you so much for calling me a real agent.
Unless you count 001, 002, 003, 004, 005, 006, 008. Couldn't get 007. One that got away, as you said.
You guys haven't had Pierce on the show?
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's too bad. He and I go way back.
Mm-mm.
What?
Yeah.
No, we had Sean. We had Timothy.
Bruno.
We had Daniel.
Uh-huh.
But...
Yeah, Bruno was in GoldenEye, and I actually, you know, the scene in Mars Attacks towards the end when Pierce's head and Sarah Jessica Parker's head is on a chihuahua. The chihuahua that's Gloria. She's an old client of mine. So yeah, Pierce and I saw him on set, and from a distance, I was kind of like, "Hey, Pierce," and he didn't.
You'd
really
have to assume Gloria is dead now.
Yes.
You don't have to assume it. I mean, he probably knows it, right?
Yes, yeah. She passed, and unfortunately, well, yeah, you know, Chihuahua, we didn't get much.
Not a lot of meat on that bone.
Yeah.
No.
So, Lewis, is there anything that you would like, you know, anything that you want people to check out in the world to write after this episode ends, right?
Yeah.
We kind of got our audience captive here.
Sure.
Right?
They're all still listening.
They're still listening. And it sort of is like, hey, we're going to tell you about a thing. When you take off your headphones, go check it out.
Yeah. You know,
that makes sense.
just kind of like a backup plan in case, you know, my illustrious career, my growing career, and this big breakout moment for me as a dog agent don't work out as far as winning over my father. I am sometimes involved in some philanthropy, and there's an organization that is really near and dear to my heart called Humor for Hope. They're actually right here in Chicago. They use improv comedy as a form of trauma therapy, and they're a really great organization. So check out Humor for Hope and support them in any way that you can. And let my father know that I'm involved with them and that I'm a good person, and that all I want is to be loved and respected by him.
Well, that sounds great. So I think that's all. Sarah, do you have any final words of adieu to bid to our guest?
I don't have any words of adieu. I just thank you all for listening so much.
And that has been the Ray Romano Memorial promo section. So as always, we say R.I.D.
Rest in Debra!
Smells like courage.
Yeah.